been a rich blessing being here today, and what was already shared. And thank you for Uriah, what you shared there, and just thought about, what's the key? You know, if God spoke to us this morning, what's the key to bringing change in our lives? If we're not strong like we're supposed to, and I think I'm going to talk about that a lot today, and I think that key is Jesus and the relationship we have with Him. If we have a strong, vibrant relationship with Him, I think we'll have power to overcome and do His will, because the victory has been won. There's power available if we tap into that power, and so praise Him for that this morning. Owen picked the song Joy to the World. The verse that went with that song was in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So I'm rejoicing this morning that he has come and has brought salvation to the earth. And I will be talking a lot about Jesus this morning and his life so what kind of sparked this message was I was in my personal devotion in the morning. I was reading through the book of Luke, and I enjoy reading through the Gospels, and it's just reading about Jesus and his ministry and the teaching he left us and the things we should follow and the many instructions that he gives, very practical things that apply to our lives daily. And just want to bring out the importance of, that we listen to him and if we follow him, if we do what he commands us, that brings life, and in the end we gain eternal life. And so, yeah, my desire this morning is to lift his name high, as his name is above all others. As we already heard this morning, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to turn to a verse in Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 9 to 11. "So wherefore God also has exalted his name and given him a name which is above every name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And so maybe before we begin this morning, why don't we, if we can, just kneel for before God in prayer and ask him to be with us. Our kind, loving, gracious, eternal Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for all you've done for us and for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we just want to bow before you this morning, bow our knee to you and lift your high and holy name. And we praise you and thank you for loving us and dying on the cross and for salvation that we can have if we surrender our life to you, and that we can be new men and women. And Lord, that we can be strong men if we are in you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would continue to strengthen us as we go through the journey of life and the things we face, Lord. I pray especially for Henry and his wife and his family as they travel out there. Pray for the ones, Lord, that are grieving this morning, and just be with them, Lord. Comfort them, Lord, and just pray that you would just, comfort them. And, Lord, we don't always understand the things that happen in our lives, but we trust you that you know that you are always faithful, and all things work together to good for them if we love you. And Lord, we just trust in you in that. And so, Lord, we just also just pray that you be with the service this morning, be with me as I speak your words, that they would be edifying and would be an encouragement and a blessing and to the hearers, and pray that the word of God would bring forth fruit and would further your kingdom. So we just commit this day into your hands and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin here with the salutation of Paul that he gave to the church at Galatians. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God of our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus came into this earth. He gave himself for our sins. He was willing to die on the cross and give his life for our sins. And through that, we can be delivered from this present evil world. So we just thank him for that. So we think of words and preaching. You know, words have a lot of power and for good or for bad. And so my prayer this morning is that I could just be an encouragement to you and furthering and strengthening your Christian walk, or if the Word of God brings conviction or understanding, just ask that you continue to pray for me. I thank you for the brothers that and for all of you that were praying for me. I definitely felt your prayers and just appreciate that, and just pray that you would continue, ask that you continue to do that, that the will of God would be accomplished this morning. Think of the power of words in Proverbs. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it should eat the fruit thereof. And so we shouldn't take lightly sharing the Word of God and you know, the teaching of the Word. We want to we want sound doctrine and the truth to come forth. And so you can turn to Matthew 14. I'm going to start here in verse 22. Thinking about life, and thought this just brought out a good picture of our Christian life. I'll just start reading here in verse 22. It's about Peter walking on the water there and Jesus coming. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And so I thought, you know, as we could get a lot of different analogies from this, but you know, as maybe as a new believer, Jesus has called us and you know, we came to Jesus and repented of our sins, and time goes on, and you know, and the winds start blowing, and things maybe start happening in our lives that we they seem to be out of control, and you know, we hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear of a lot of things, and we start to wonder: is this actually the true thing? And we start getting our focus off of Jesus. We our gaze starts going to the sides. We focus on the water and the winds, and before long we see the need to maybe we need a life jacket or hope we can swim once we sink all the way, and we start trying to do things of our own strength, and things get out of control. We're you know, up to our chests maybe in the water, and I think that's maybe sometimes how our life can go. And, you know, we get our focus off of Jesus. And that's really what I want to focus on today is having our gaze fixed on Jesus at all times. And we can rest in that. And because he is our all in all. And he is able to help us at all times. And so, and we can see Peter here, he lost his focus off Jesus and he started to sink. And so, just an encouragement for all of us, whatever we are facing in life, is that if things seem to be out of control, we see families, of relationships being torn apart, families that you never thought would have relationship problems. You know, we could start worrying about things. But I think if we keep our gaze on Jesus and have our lives fully committed to him, that will take care of those things. As soon as Jesus is no longer ruling and reigning in our lives, we will lose that peace. But Jesus is always there with an outstretched hand if we come to him and we can find peace again. There's a song that we used to sing at home as a family, and I just thought it kind of fit it with this scripture here. It's called In the Shelter of His Arm. I don't know how many of you know it. Maybe I like to have a raise of hands of how many you know this song. It's when my soul was disturbed with sorrow and my heart was burdened with sin, Jesus opened his arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. So does anybody know that song, or a couple? Okay. So yeah, my dad used to sing this song. I might just read it off here, just kind of, I just thought it was kind of fitted with this. So I'll just start here in the first one again. In the shelter of his arm, when my soul was disturbed with sorrow, when my heart was burdened with sin, Jesus opened his arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. And here's the chorus. There is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace, though the world be raging, in the shelter of his arms. There are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection in the shelter of his arms. Though the world all around be raging, and it's filled with many alarms, trust in Jesus, and he will keep you in the shelter of his arm. So yeah, just an encouragement to keep our gaze on Jesus, and if we are fixed on him, I think we will be able to walk on water as Peter did. Another song that was going through my mind as I was studying this message was, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." So we want to fully trust in him. Then the chorus, of course, goes, On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so, we can, actually there's a verse here that I want to look up. It's 1 Corinthians 3. Talks about the foundation, Jesus' foundation, chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we want to build on Jesus Christ. All other foundations will crumble. They won't stand the test of times when fires come through, when we are tried, those things will just burn up and crumble. But we can build on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, we could pursue other things in life that might seem enjoyable for a season, but you know, those things tend to, at the end, then it seems like emptiness. And so the things of Christ is what satisfy, and you know, all other things are sinking sand. If that's our focus in life, you know, in the end, it doesn't bring the joy and the peace that is in Jesus. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here it is again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. So we look to Jesus, you know, and As he you know, he went through on this earth, all the things that he faced, but he looked ahead, and the reward at the end. And I think that's the same way that we can encourage ourselves is, you know, if we are facing things in life, you know, this life is short. It's but a vapor, and all those things will look small in the end, in the future. And so we're going to look to Jesus. And so he endured, and we can also endure, you know, despising the shame. You know, we face things that don't feel good, but Jesus, he went through with it. You know, I think he gave his life for us. It wasn't taken from him. He was willing to lay down his life. In 1 Corinthians, there's another verses here. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 6. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So if we are in Christ, we will be enriched. If we listen to his words, if we feed on his word, that will be enriching to our lives. And just studying in the Word of God this last week, and you know, being in the Word of God more, it was just enriching. It was just such a blessing, and I think that's what the Word of God does. It moves us, and it has power. So turn to Matthew 17. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. I was just, the first part here, to kind of bring out who Jesus is, and so this is Matthew 17. Let me turn to it first here. I'm going to be spending quite a few time here in the Gospels. This is kind of, there's a phrase in here that kind of sparked the message here. So the title of my message is "Hear Ye Him." So it's listening to Jesus' teaching and the importance of that. You know, we can't look to any other source, and we can only serve one master. So I'm going to start reading here. It's on the Mount Transfiguration here, So I'm going to start reading here in chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And so here, I guess I don't know all the significance of, you know, of the Mount of Transfiguration, what all, later in, I think it's verse, Jesus called it a vision. So I'm not sure if it was, you know, a literal or if they had a vision, but anyway, the point I want to bring out is the message that God had for the disciples is, hear ye him, the Son of God. And I'm sure it was quite of an experience for Peter, James, and John to be there, the bright light and Jesus transforming into a bright light. But I think God got the message through with that experience to the disciples. You know, this is the Son of God, and we should listen. We should listen carefully to him. So we could ask the question: so who was God speaking to? Was this only for Peter, James, and John, or for the disciples of that time? I hear things people say, you know, the Gospels was for the people of that time or just for the disciples. But I think God was speaking to Peter, James, and John here, but I think it was for us all, for all humanity, that we should listen what Jesus has to say. We could think, you know, the old God in the Old Testament is the same God still today. He hasn't changed. And I think the whole Bible is for us all. I don't read anywhere that there's certain portions not for us. So I believe that what Jesus said is true. And if he is the Lord and Savior of a life, I think we should listen carefully to what he has to say. Let me see here. So yeah, I simply believe in following him and what the teachings of Jesus, following that, we can see the fruits that come forth. You know, if we can examine ourselves, you know, who are we following? If we can examine the fruits that come forth. So yeah, there, I think there is safety in just in believing Jesus and what he says and stick with that. So I'm going to turn to Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I don't think it matters who we are or where we came from. If we call upon the Lord, you know, he is there to save us. And I have another verse in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26 to 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, but there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if we are in Christ, we can be the seed of Abraham and the seed of God. And so I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm just blessed with these. I'm going to read the first two chapters here in Hebrews. It just kind of speaks of who Jesus is, and I thought, they were a blessing just reading these chapters here. It says, God who at sundry, that's Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So, I think the word sundry means in various times, in different times, God spoke through the prophets, through the Old Testament. Now it goes on, in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Being made so much better than the angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Make his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness in the scepter of thy kingdom. But thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and all they shall wax, and they all shall wax old at that a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And they are all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. So here in chapter 2, my headline says, The Preeminence of Christ's Message. So it starts in, Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense every reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who were sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So we see Jesus here is bringing better things. You know, if the word that the prophets had spoken were true, how much more the words of Jesus, and he willing to come in the flesh and willing, to become like us, and so how much more can he can aid us in the needs we have? You know, being tempted like we are, he is able to help us through temptation. And so we thank him for that and praise him for that. So turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 1, talking about Jesus here again. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Continue reading here. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And so we see here that Jesus is the only way into the sheepfold. He is the door. That is, we can try other ways. People have tried all kinds of other ways to fill that void in their lives. A lot of people fill it with religion and all that. But he is the door to the sheepfold. He is the way to the Father. And so if we listen to him, his voice, and we know the sound of his voice, when a stranger comes in and we hear something different, it just doesn't sound right. I think we will recognize the other voices if we know the voice of the Father. And if we hear those other voices, we should flee. And and go to the Father again and to the voice of truth and life. Turn to John 14, starting in verse 1. It's a few chapters back. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. But if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So in this life, we're born into this life, and so we need to know a way, or we should have a find a way or some direction in life. Otherwise, we're just aimlessly wandering around, and we'll end up the wrong place. But here Jesus said, "I am the way." So we can trust in him for that. You know, if we follow his direction, his guidance, he provides a way. And the next one is truth. This world, there's just a lot of lying. I mean, you hardly know what's true and what's, you know, people lying all the time. It's just not very convenient. People lie and don't uphold the truth, you know, trying to sway people to think like they do. But Jesus is the truth. We can trust in that what he says is true, and we don't have to worry that, you know, he's feeding us some false information. And then also, Jesus, he's also the life. And so, we need life. We are born with a sinful nature, and we're lost without him. And so we need to have that new life. We need to be born again of the Spirit of God, and that happens through Jesus Christ and the life he gives us. We can know about Jesus. We can read about him. It can be all head knowledge, but it doesn't profit us unless we first die of ourselves and lay our lives down and are willing to surrender our lives and our desires, lay that down, and then Jesus can give us a new life and work with us and transform us into a new man and one that brings glory to him. So we have, the first thing is our old man has to die. So I'm going to turn to Revelations chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 17, 18. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." And so Jesus is the conqueror of death. And, you know, if we look in life, if we look around us, everything is dying. You know, there's nothing that, everything is decaying. It's on a downhill slope. But Jesus is the only one that has conquered death, and he produces new life, and that life lives forever. And so that's exciting that we can be part of that kingdom of life. You know, we all enjoy life. You know, in the spring, you know, the leaves come out and there is new life, but it just lasts for a season, and then they decay and go back to the earth. But if we are in Christ, we can have eternal life that lasts forever. And so I'm excited that I can be part of that kingdom, and that he has the power over death and the grave. And if we're in him, we can experience that life in eternity. Okay, turn to Matthew 21. It's bringing out what we do with the Word of God. We hear the Word and how we respond to it. Matthew 21. Verses 28 to 32. There's Jesus speaking of a parable here of two sons. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I will go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father. They said unto him, the first, Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. So I just kind of thought, this is, you know, if hearing the Word of God, you know, Sundays at church and it stirs up a desire in us, and we say, you know, Lord, yes, we will change. There's things in our lives that need to be changed, but does that really happen as we go through the week, or is it just kind of an emotional thing, or do we truly let the Word of God change us? And if it doesn't, we can always repent and He will strengthen us. But it bothers me sometimes, you know, how often we hear a good message and, you know, we hear the Word, we hear God speaking to us, but yet it doesn't bring the change that I think is God is looking for. So I think we should take if we hear the Word of God and He speaks to us, we should take that seriously and apply it to our lives. So another scripture here in Luke 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It's about Mary and Martha. I'll just start reading here. And now it came to pass, as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So I just said, think here, you know, that can be the situation in our lives. You know, what Martha was doing wasn't necessarily wrong, but if the things of this world are taking priority in our lives, and we don't have time to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to what He has for us, you know, that's the single most important thing in this life, to keep our spiritual fires burning, is to each day and continually sitting at Jesus' feet and listening what He has for us. And, you know, we read the same scripture over and over again, and we think, well, they should get old, but they're not, they don't. They always bring life. And so, yeah, just encouragement is if we are cumbered about with many things and we seemingly can't keep up, you know, maybe we should, maybe there's things in our life that we should get rid of, that we have more time to sit at the feet of Jesus and just listen what He is trying to teach us. Okay, I'm turning to Mark chapter 1. So Mark chapter 1, I'm going to be starting verse 14. Jesus' ministry, the beginning of his ministry, he was calling disciples to him. And so we'll start reading here in chapter 14, or chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when they had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. So here Jesus calling his first disciples, they're in chapter 20. I have to think that they were there mending their nets, and Jesus, this teacher, comes along and says, "Come and follow me," and they up and left their father in the ship. I don't know, how would that work today if the teacher would come along and say David L. and his two boys are just up and leave the farm and follow him. So, but I think that they did the right thing there and became a disciple. Just going to focus a little bit on disciple here. I think we call ourselves Christians, but the word disciple means to be, a follower. And I have a writing here, an article that I found that really brings out a good what a disciple should be. I think, we also read about the apostles. And I think Jesus had many more disciples than just the 12. But the word apostle, I think, means more of maybe send out. I think we should be disciples, we should be apostles, and we should be Christians. I think that would all fit into our lives as far as following Jesus. So I'm just going to read this article here. What were the earlier followers of Christ called? They were simply called disciples. Disciples were the preferred preference for believers. But what is a disciple? A disciple is a student. A disciple is one who disciplines himself in the teachings and practices of another. The word disciple is like discipline. Discipline comes from the Latin word discipulus, meaning pupil or learner. Consequently, to learn is to disciple oneself. For example, if one is to advance in the arts or science or athletics of one has to discipline himself to learn and follow the principles and fundamentals of the best teachers in that area of study. So it was and is with the disciples of Christ. A disciple follows Jesus. When Jesus called his first disciples, he spoke a single word, "Follow me." A disciple is a follower, one who trusts and believes in a teacher and follows the teacher's words and example. Therefore, to be a disciple is to be in a relationship. It is having an intimate and instructive relationship with the teacher. No one can say he is a disciple of a teacher unless he is ready to listen to that teacher. Listening to Jesus is what a Christian disciple does. When Jesus speaks, the disciple listens. The disciple hangs on every word of the master as if that word were bread for the hungry or water for the thirsty. So, and last phrase here, it says, you cannot be a Christian and not listen to Jesus. And so if we are listening to Jesus and if we are a disciple of Jesus, our lives should reflect the life of Jesus and what he did in his ministry on this earth, helping other people and the many things he did. We should, Brother Barry had a message that was titled "Walk as He Walked." And so, is it possible to walk as Christ walked? Do we believe that? And I think we can if we truly follow him with all our heart and we're completely surrendered to him and his calling and his teaching, if we apply that to our lives. I'm going to look here, look a couple of verses up. Requirements to be a disciple in Matthew chapter 11. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So here he gave the instructions again, is if we want to be a disciple, we have to take that yoke upon us, as Uriah shared this morning, taking the cross upon us and learning of him. And, you know, we can find rest in that. It might not always be the easiest thing. It might not always feel good, but we can find rest and peace in serving God. And, you know, it's amazing the difference in people. You know, the ones that don't have peace in their hearts, you know, they're so easily stirred up about, you know, political things or whatever. But we don't have to worry. If we have the peace of God in our hearts, and you know, some of those things just don't bother us very much. I think maybe Uriah mentioned this verse in Luke 9. Luke 9, verse 20, chapter 9, verse 23. "And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or he be cast away?" And so we see here again, it takes dying of our own desires, our own flesh, and you know, it seems contrary to our thinking, you know, to die first and then life. But it says to die is if we lose our life, we will gain life, and so we will have eternal life. Also in Luke 9:57. Verse 57, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man saith unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in the house. And Jesus saith unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And so, yeah, just bringing out another example of being, looking to Jesus, not looking back. And I think, you know, the guy that said he has to bury his father, I don't think it's wrong to bury our father, but I think it's where our priorities are, you know, having Christ first. Okay, it's a little later than I thought. I was going to go into just some practical commandments or teachings that Jesus gave to us, and that apply to our everyday lives. You know, the things that Jesus taught aren't complicated. They're very simple to understand. And, I might quickly go through some of these. So the first one I taught, the greatest commandment, which Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus says to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so the first and the greatest commandment is to love God and with all our heart. And He has to have all of our heart. We cannot serve God and man. The next one is Matthew 7, the golden rule, 7 verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. This is the law and the prophets. So that's just a simple message that, you know, we should do to other people as we would like them to do unto us. And it's, you know, it sounds really simple, but sometimes to work that out, it's a little harder than it seems sometimes. But it makes a great difference. It makes a big difference in our relationships, in our marriage, you know, in the church, how we treat others the way we would like to be treated. John 15. Verse 4, it says, Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Here again, just a simple message. If we abide in him and continue to we get our life from Christ, we will continue to have life. But that's where the source of life comes from. That's a promise that we have. If we abide in him, he will continue to abide in us. Turn to Matthew 5. So I just went through it, and I just picked some things that Jesus, that I thought would be a blessing, that Jesus just taught us, just things that apply to our lives daily. Matthew 5:25 says, Agree with an adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with them, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Just simply saying, if we have a problem with somebody else, if whatever it might be, it says just quickly take care of the matter. Don't let things drag out, you know, in whatever it might be, in relationships, or if somebody wronged you, or if you wronged somebody else, take care of it quickly and settle the matter. The next one is Matthew 5:29 in the same chapter. The title is Get Rid of Whatever Causes You to Sin, 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Just simply saying, if there's things in your life that cause you to stumble, cause you to sin, get rid of those things. Of course, we know we can't get rid of sin by ourselves, by our own power. But I think Jesus still, as he says here, maybe there are some practical things that we should just get rid of. And, you know, we shouldn't set ourselves up for temptation. Matthew 5:35 says, "Swear." The title I wrote down: "Swear not at all." It says in the chapter 5, verse 35, "Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool; neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King." I think I got my verses wrong, but I verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Then I read verse 35. But Simply, we don't have to swear. We can just keep our word. If we say we will do this or that, we keep our word. You know, it's very unhandy to work with people that don't keep their word. But simply saying keep your word. It's a virtue. It's what Jesus taught us, and I think we should do that. We try to keep our word. The next title is "Do Not Resist an Evil Person," Matthew 5, 38-39. "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So just bringing out here that, you know, if somebody wrongs us, I don't think it's speaking literal here. It might be, you know, in some circumstances people are physically persecuted. But even in other areas of our life, if somebody wrongs us, we don't hit back. We turn the other cheek. Another one is giving more than is demanded. In Matthew 5, verse 40, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away." Jesus is saying here, you know, go the extra mile. If somebody asks for something, go the extra mile. Give him, if he asks for a coat, give him more than he asks for. Another one is, "Do not store up treasures on earth." And you find that in Matthew 6. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves do not break through nor steal." So Jesus is teaching us here to not lay up earthly wealth and accumulate wealth, but much more we should be laying up treasures in heaven. We should be busy in the work of the kingdom and not laying up here on this earth. The things will pass away and be gone, and they won't mean anything in the future. Matthew 6:33, "Place God first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Another one is, "Care for those in distress." Matthew 25. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." So here is simply saying we should care for people, needy people. It takes time and an investment on our part, but it's just a simple command that Jesus gave us, and I think, you know, through that we can draw people to him. And another one is Matthew 23. I titled it, "Do Not Exalt Yourself." Matthew 23, verse 8. "But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." I might have my verses mixed. I'm not quite sure on that one. Anyway, I think I got my verses. So that was my last one. There's a lot more the teachings of Jesus. We could focus more on one, but I just thought, some of those are just simple, practical, everyday things that we can apply in our lives that brings glory to Him and makes a difference in our relationships, in our families, in our homes, and in the world, people we deal with. It makes a difference. Here in closing, we heard about Jesus, but I guess the question I want to ask is, who is He to you? It takes more than just hearing the word. If we have knowledge, it takes more than just knowledge. And, if we just have knowledge, it doesn't profit us anything. So, as it says in the last days, many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many, wonderful things? We have, all those things. But Jesus said, I never knew you. And so we don't want to just perform. We can be pretty, we can train ourselves pretty well and act like we should. God can see in the heart, and that's really where it matters. And so, just an encouragement. If Jesus is knocking on your heart's door, He is there with an outstretched hand, and He is willing to help you in life, and He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the door to the Father. Matthew 4:17 is another verse you'd like to get. For that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. But I think that is God's desire, that we come and follow Him, and then He makes us fishers of men. And we go out, and we are fishers of men, and they become Christians, and it just keeps going. So I think that is the desire of Christ. But all that is not possible unless we have a strong relationship with Jesus and follow Him. So for the closing verse, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the gospel, that the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.